during the time of this global crisis, I have had a wonderful opportunity. I will stop and say that it certainly has not felt wonderful. In fact, nothing about it really has felt wonderful other than the realizations and the deeper learning that's come from it. But I've had this wonderful opportunity to really experience and really work with what most people in the world, and myself included, would call failure. And in this case, the most important lesson that I have learned is that I have not failed. Now, clearly, if there's something that I was supposed to do that I didn't do, then in that case, yes, I did fail. But in this case, I have had to really sort out and really distinguish between what it is that I was putting so much energy and effort into and having it really be to a place where the model of it actually failed. And I won't go into all the specifics because I feel like that is really just the story. That's really just the storyline. If I start getting really wrapped up in what actually happened and who did what and who didn't do that, you know, who didn't do what and who did what, then it really just becomes a drama. It really just becomes like a movie where a storyline is playing out. What I really find is most important and most healing for me is to be able to really work with at a very deep level. And this is where mindfulness practice and mindful coping practice really help, is that it's about working with my thoughts about what has happened. In other words, if there has been a failure or something that I have been involved in has failed, quote unquote, or failed, so to speak, it is remembering that it is all the thoughts about whatever it is failing, about what that generates. And really where I want to pay close attention is I want to look very closely at my thoughts about what has failed, about what has not moved forward in the way that I hope that it would. Because that is really, if I want to figure out if I am suffering, if I'm causing myself unnecessary suffering, that's really where I want to look. In other words, that's where I want to pay attention, is right between my ears, so to speak. I want to be able to be aware of those thoughts. I want to be able to sit with those thoughts. I don't have to believe them. I don't have to identify with the person that my thoughts are trying to tell me that I am, because I know at the end of the day, that's just a mental habit. It's just an entrenched neural habit, and it is something that we humans are wired to do. We're wired to think about our experiences, and while there are times where thinking is clearly necessary, and especially in logical and logistical situations and planning and preparing, I realize that I can put too much energy and effort towards it. So what I guess I'm really speaking about here is that when things that I am involved in for whatever reason, and this can be, you know, in this case, this is, you know, work related, this is related to efforts in the community to get people together. And during this time of global crisis, I have found that what I am really focusing on is celebrating the fact that I was willing to take on new things during this time. And in my work life, there were many things with, you know, the new work that I was doing that I did not have control over. And at the same time, though, I do have responsibilities, and I do want to be responsible to the people that this organization is being of service to. And in any community endeavors that I've been involved in, and stepping out and taking the lead and trying new models of bringing people together, I want to be able to not be afraid. I want to continue to take risks. I want to continue to take chances. And if I found anything during this time of crisis, that it is still possible for me to do that, no matter how tenuous, how tentative, how scary, and how uncertain things are. And after spending a lot of years doing the same kind of work in the same way and in a model that I had created for myself, to see that suddenly no longer work in the economic realities that we are dealing with. It would be very easy for me to get caught up into thinking that this is my model, that this is what I have created. And again, I've found that really overly identifying with whatever it is I'm involved in, the more emotional stake I put in believing that I am the person that created this, or I'm the person that co-created this, that somehow this is really about me, is really where the pain and suffering is. And that's really where I'm going to find that if I am not paying attention to the way that I am thinking about these things, that I am never going to be able to extricate myself from that suffering. I'm going to continue, as a lot of human beings do, to continue to replay these scenarios over and over and over in my mind. And no matter how much the variables change in the future, no matter where I find myself, I can go somewhere different, I can do different work, I can be around different people, but I'm still going to be traveling with this psychic baggage if I don't heal it. And I know that I can't heal it if I don't sit with it first and pay attention to it. And I've talked to so many people that during this time have dealt with huge changes in their lives. And I know that a lot of this is economic. I know that a lot of this is health related. So anytime that we're dealing with any sort of pressure on these systems, anytime that we're dealing with a lot of things chaotically changing, there is going to be suffering around that. And I know that even if I am working with my thoughts and being aware of what I'm thinking, I know that's not going to prevent suffering in the world. I know that it's not going to prevent suffering, you know, that I can't control, even that I'm going to experience. So really what I'm focusing here on, what it is that I can affect positively, what it is that I can, the very little as a human being that I can really control. And what I would say here is that when our preconceived notions, and in this case, I found myself with some preconceived notions, I admit that. I think any time that we are part of some sort of endeavor where a model has been created, where work is going to be done a certain way, or certain things are going to happen, you know, certain events are planned, things are going, you know, are expected to happen, that it's very, very easy if we are not mindful, if we're not aware of what the preconceived notions that we're holding on to. I can have a lot of beliefs and expectations about how things are going to go. I can get really wrapped up in who I think I am, being involved in these things, doing this work, making these efforts, you know, being a part of groups of people trying to get somewhere or accomplish something or make something happen, so to speak. And I have found that the more that I get emotionally wrapped up in needing something that I'm involved in to go a certain way, or to feel like, you know, things need to happen the way that I think they need to happen, the more of this that I do, and I have done plenty of this over the past several weeks, and I've caught myself in the act of it, and I know that I wouldn't be able to catch myself in the act of having these thoughts unless I was practicing mindfulness and mindful coping. I wouldn't be able to cope at all if I was not aware of how I was interpreting my own experiences. If I wasn't able to pay attention to how I can either make it better or worse by the thoughts that I have, and being open to healing that, then I know at the end of the day, there's no way that I could live life without suffering. I would not be able to cope. And I realize that not coping looks a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different shades and gradations of that. I mean, there is the inability to cope that can completely leave us flat on our back, either literally or figuratively, and not being able to really be in life, to not be able to be with other people in a healthy way, to not be able to communicate, to not hear what people are saying, to not be able to react in a healthy, positive way. And then there's the more subtle version of this where, you know, I can be what I call highly functioning, even though I'm not coping. I can go through the motions. I can force myself to check the boxes and do the things that need to be done. But it's really, in some ways, it's just an act. It's really just me trying to play the part of someone that's coping. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, because sometimes, and I've been there, and I'm sure I'll be there again at some point, sometimes that's the best we can do when things are really, really difficult. It's just getting up, standing up, and showing up, and just doing what it is that we can. And I'm not advocating being disingenuous or trying to be someone that we're not, but sometimes the best that we can do is to just show up and try to go through the motions in the best way we can. And there again, that's, you know, I don't know what's best for anyone except for myself. I just know that sometimes as human beings, I have talked to so many people who have experienced this, that sometimes this is really the best we can offer. And so I want to be kind and compassionate to myself and to others. And sometimes it's easy to spot when other people are going through things like this. And the only reason it is easy is because I have been that person. I've been through that. And I know that I will go through it again at some point in the future. So with all of these models in my head, and with these, you know, the hopes and expectations that new endeavors work out. And I think we always go into something, you know, hoping for the best. I think that is very natural and human. But I think that the more, if I get too attached to those things, that is really where things are going to get difficult. And even if it's coming from a good place, and I've experienced a lot of that recently, I know after taking a really deep look at this, that in some cases where over the past few weeks I have experienced unbelievable frustration, incredible exhaustion, confusion, becoming really disillusioned with the process. And this is speaking of, you know, work-related situations, community, you know, doing work in the community, and just feeling frustrated and just feeling, you know, worn out and feeling not heard and not listened to and taken for granted, and all of these things that we can get really, really wrapped up in believing. And it's been very tempting for me to do that over the past few weeks, to get really, and I've, there are times, very brief times, thankfully, you know, this doesn't go on for hours or days, but there are times where I've caught myself in the act of really getting wrapped up in feeling, you know, and identifying as being the person who's taken for granted, being the person that's angry, being the person that's frustrated and exhausted, and every other one of these negative emotions, and feeling like a victim. It's very easy to do. And so I don't want to think less of myself or beat myself up emotionally because of it. What I want to do is just realize that this is part of being human. Things are not going to go the way that we always hope. The models that we have in our head for the way life is going to be, or our work is going to be, or what we do in the community and with other people, it's not always going to be the way that we hope that it goes. And so there, again, that is why it is so incredibly important for me to pay attention to my thoughts around these things. And if I'm here in each moment, being present with myself, when really the temptation is to not be present, when I'm feeling all these things, frustration, anger, when I'm feeling resignation and wanting to give up, and there's been a lot of that. These are the times when it's very tempting to not want to be here. And as humans, we are absolute geniuses. And it's almost, in some ways, I feel like we maybe actually come by this naturally. We can be incredibly creative when it comes to not being here. And a lot of it we can do unconsciously. I mean, it's not like we have to, you know, create some sort of master plan to not be here. And really all it boils down to is that, you know, I think most of us have the capacity and are wired to create diversions for ourselves, to get involved in something, to really take all of this away and go somewhere else in our heads. And a lot of times it could be just thinking and indulging in these negative thought patterns of replaying these thoughts over and over again, and telling ourselves these stories where we are the victim, where things aren't going well, and that we find ourselves really lost in that storyline, so to speak. And when we're there, when we're not here, We certainly can't tend to our own healing. We can't be kind to ourselves. It's really hard to be kind to others. It's really hard to listen to others. And if I'm feeling like I'm not being listened to, I know that the most unhealing or the most unhealthy thing for me to do is to be somewhere else, and then I'm not listening to other people as well. And I'm not helping myself, and I'm not helping them. So the only way I can really find the joy in life, where I can really find the meaning in it, where I can really live a life that I can feel good about, is I have to do what's referred to as going towards the light. I have to be willing to come back here. In other words, in fact, one of my teachers said to me when I was talking to him about what I've been going through, he looked at me and there was some silence for a period of time, and he looked at me and he said, "Jeff, being here is the point. Being here is the point. This is the whole reason for this. What is life if it's not for being here?" And that hit me, you know, that impacted me greatly, and it hit me right between the eyes, so to speak. And I realized that is really the point. That is really what it's all about. And even as someone who's practiced mindfulness for decades, it's been very easy for me to forget about that. Sometimes it's just been doing the practice for the sake of doing the practice, because that's what I've been practicing. But if I lose sight of the point of all of this, is to be here. I can't really work on myself and be the best person I can be if I'm somewhere else in my head. If I'm lost in looping thoughts that just continue to reinforce my vision of myself as a victim, as someone who's frustrated, resigned, angry, feeling taken for granted, feeling like it's never going to get any better. These are all the things that I can do if I forget about the point of all of this. And the point, and I'm so grateful to my teacher for reminding me of that, is that the point is really to be here. And sometimes being here is going to mean that I'm going to be involved in endeavors with other people where there is going to be frustration, where I am going to feel resigned. Things are not going to be handled always the way that I think that they should be handled. Even if I am focused on making sure that I'm taking care of people in the best way I can and keeping my word that I gave to them and doing the best I can do, if I'm involved with other people, I can't control all of those things. And I've had to remind myself of that. And as someone who really does take and puts a lot of energy into taking care of others and making sure that they get what they have been promised, if I can't do all of those things to make sure it happens, if it's not just me, and I have to really work with other people and cooperate with other people to get them what it is that's been promised, there's only so much I can control. And I've had to really revisit that. And the same thing with work in the community, that I can't do it all myself. That if people are not standing, you know, if we're not all going to stand together and create something, then it's, you know, the whatever it is that's being dreamed about or envisioned, it's not always going to go the way that it was, that, you know, the way in which it was hoped that it would go. And so it's really, for me, is about remembering that I'm only one person. I can only do what I can do, and I can't fix it for everyone else. Where, you know, if there's a chain, so to speak, of people, I can't necessarily, if there's a break in that chain, I can't necessarily stand in all of the breaks and repair all those all at once, or even one after another. All I can really do is live this life that I have, pay attention to the thoughts that I have, do the best work I can do, and cope. And that's really what it boils down to, is that if I am not paying attention to being more aware and being more mindful about how I'm processing what it, you know, this life that I am living, then I really can't do anything for anybody else. I can't really be of service to anyone else. It's almost as if, and I had another teacher share this with me many years ago, that the most important thing I can offer others is really my work on myself. And how can I really work with others? How can I really cooperate with other people if I cannot work on myself, if I cannot practice the ability to not get carried away with everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling, if I cannot be able to learn to sit with some of these negative emotions and to pay attention to thoughts that I know are not serving me, but I have to let them run their course. I mean, it's all part of nature. as human beings. We're living organisms. This is how we process our experiences and what's going on in front of us. If I cannot sit with those things, even when it's difficult, and choose to stay here and be here where it is uncomfortable, then I really never am going to be able to really be of much use to anyone. And part of being of service to other people is creating models, is being a part of a team who is trying to accomplish something. And I've for many years avoided doing these things because I wanted to control everything. I wasn't able to emotionally handle working with other people and dealing with all of the frustrations and all of the disappointments and all of the exhaustion that I have been dealing with since I chose several years ago to start working with other people more consistently and not doing it all myself. I mean, none of us are an island, but at the end of the day, the way that we work, we can choose that to a certain degree. And I know that I'm much better off, and I can work towards being a much better person if I can learn how to control just really be able to live with thoughts that sometimes don't feel good. Because sometimes being with other people, working with other people, making efforts with other people sometimes does not feel good. But I know that I'm much better off. I'm going to be much healthier if I continue to stay in the game, so to speak, and not live in isolation. So thankfully, there's this practice that allows me and allows other people, anyone who chooses to avail themselves of it, to be willing to pay attention to these thoughts and be a witness to them without identifying with them. It is actually possible to deal with things failing, things not going as planned. Maybe whatever it is that's being planned never gets off the ground. Maybe it gets off the ground to a certain degree and then crashes and burns spectacularly, so to speak. But at the same time, though, if I can live through that, then I know that I can wake up another day and try again. And I know the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if I practice not believing everything I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. And I'm willing to be vulnerable, and I'm open to the fact that sometimes I am going to be angry, frustrated, and resigned and disillusioned, because I've beginning to find, and after 55 years of life, it's about time I found this out, that being human, ultimately, this is what it's about. It's if I'm going to really be fully human, if I'm really going to give myself over to these things and really be with other people and make efforts with other people and risk everything doing it, including risking getting my feelings hurt and, risking feeling like something has failed. I know that I've heard the saying before that, we're not failures. We don't fail. But at the end of the day, what it is we do sometimes, if it is possible to fail at something, but I don't believe that it's really about, that people really are failures. And so I want to remind myself of that. If I don't do something that I need to do, then I have failed to do it. But I think sometimes it's easy to distort that perception. And that's ultimately what I want to be able to do. I don't want to get caught up in that. I want to be able to be in this life and live fully. And I know the only way I can do that is to pay attention to my thoughts and not believe them.